Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Awkward.
Social podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so very much for downloading this episode. Just finished recording right now with today's guest, Miss Dani Fernandez. That is actually her Instagram handle as well, Ms. Dani Fernandez, D-A-N-I. I didn't know that there was a male and a female version of like Tony and Danny, and it's like with a female one is with the I. I am learning so much about the world, apparently. She was kind enough to join me in a very limited window that she had. She and I are you know, we actually met through the podcast and have remained good friends, although we don't really talk much these days because she's thankfully very successful, and I am very invested in Netflix right now. But this is a fun episode. It's a little short, but fun. We talk a lot about home decorations, making fun of Batman. Enjoy that conversation towards the end. It's a hoot. So stick around for that. Follow her on social media at Miss Dani Fernandez. I am, of course, at I am Jose Chavez. Also, if you have any thoughts, feedback, any comments you want to leave, obviously a 5-star would be great on, you know, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you listen to it. But also, if you want to reach out to me, have any thoughts, comments, something you want to acknowledge that, or something I've said wrong that you want to correct me on. First of all, how dare you? Second of all, you can do it by leaving me a message. I believe you can shoot a text with this phone number as well, 818-697-0050. That is the number to contact me. That is specifically dedicated to the podcasts, and I will be the one listening to those. So if you have to reach out, go ahead and do it that way. It's always a good time and a laugh. Anyhow, let's get into the episode itself. Enjoy, please.
I'm recording now.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully Molly will behave. She's demanding that she bark at people outside the window, so she finally passed out in front of the sun.
Oh, that's nice. Sunbathing can take it out of you.
Yeah, she just, but it's funny because she just woke up not that long ago, so she's already back to bed.
Yeah, we have two cats, and the cats are almost every episode you hear the cats in the background demanding attention, affection, food.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not chill out at all.
Yeah, she, I was shooting this thing with College Humor, and I was like, I think she's going to be, because I pass her on and off with Mark, my ex, and because mm-hmm. she adores him, so he'll take her for a couple days. And he was like filming something, I think, with Rotten Tomatoes, and I was filming, you know, we're all doing this from our homes. And my College Humor thing was a competition, so we had to like buzz in and like answer like trivia questions, and she would randomly, like as the garbage people were coming, just like bark at them, you know. And so I had to keep stopping during our filming to be like, I'm so sorry, I'm gonna get up really quickly. And it was also like a really awkward position where my mic was in between my legs, like mm-hmm. because I had this like certain background I was supposed to like kind of make it look like. And anyways, it was a mess. So nobody sees how uncomfortable we are behind the scenes.
It is. I know. It's eventually it'll be that thing where the news anchor is, you can see his shorts while he's wearing like a right. suit at the top and the shorts at the bottom.
Yeah.
That is the look that we all have when we're home doing these things. I mean, I haven't done too many video element things. I've mostly just been doing audio, but there's always a Zoom element, and I forget that the people are watching me because I'm not used to being on camera.
I like my background a lot because, like, with College Humor, they were like, you can pick, like, one of the fake backgrounds, but I actually like the art that I have up in my place, so I normally mm-hmm. do show that because it took me a while to hang everything up, so I actually do like my home background. But, yeah, I was watching this news anchor or whatever that was doing it from home in their bedroom, and their bed, it just looked like a college dorm. I was like, is this how sometimes you just can't, like, it doesn't matter how the person appears. It was just really funny to me. It just looked like it didn't look how I expected. So, yeah, it reminded me of like my bed in a bags that I would get from like Target or something.
It's always one of my favorite things about films is the misunderstanding of how nice of a home someone would have for whatever their job is.
100%.
Like, you go and you're like, oh, what does he do? Oh, he's a history teacher. But then he has, like, this really nice house that you know, like, old wood that was imported in from another country, you know, parts of an old boat. And the guy's on a teacher's salary, but whoever wrote it doesn't understand that. That is my favorite.
But there's also people, like, so I date, like, there's a couple of people that I've dated who, I don't want to say that they had, like, they were just successful. Like, they worked a lot. Like, they worked on a lot of different shows, and their place was trash. Like, they just, men, like, I think a lot of them don't know how to decorate. And unless they hire somebody, it will just look like how it looked when they started out here. And so they just would never, and I think they would also, like, travel. So they would invest their money in other things. But, like, their bedroom was borderline, you did not want to, like, sleep in it. I remember thinking, like, this is, I don't judge them because I like them, but they definitely, there's like a layer of dust. There's things that need to be cleaned and thrown away in here. And these are like people that I'm like, you have more, you've written on more shows than I have. I know you have more money than me. And my, I live in a tiny little apartment. I'm just good with decorating it. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of like Instagram and I think also like Pinterest or whatever, like, what am I trying to say? Channels, whatever. There's a lot of different ones, companies where they'll teach you how to decorate like a tiny one bedroom, really, I think it's called apartment way. I don't know. Anyways, I feel like I'm one of those people. You can give me literally just like this, a tiny little amount of space and I can make it look really pretty. It just depends on, so that's what I did. It looks like I have a lot of money and I don't. Yeah. This is my tiny little apartment. It's just I know how to hang things and what to decorate it with.
Well, there's a fine line between having stuff on your wall and then clutter.
True.
Yeah, so you can't see, like, you can see my background right now. It's just a few posters over my workstation, and that's one thing. On the other side, it's just, I don't have any shelves up yet, so it's just a bunch of, like, just random, like, pop vinyls and little figures on this little drafting table that I'm using as a makeshift podcast station for the time being. And it looks really cluttered on one side, really professional on the other side.
Yeah, it looks really clean.
Yeah, it's most certainly not. It's only literally, the reason I did it the way that I did it was so it would look, when I have to do Zoom stuff, like I have my shit together. But I, you know, it's nice, but it's, you know, at the same time, it's just a few posters from Amazon and, you know.
That's like, how I am too. Like, I'll just get, yeah, I'll pick up little decorations along the way. I think that's it. I know my aesthetic really well. And so then as I, like, see art or something, like even a candle or something that might fit in, I just, like, pick it up wherever I am. I'll pick up little things. And so then it transforms into a whole room. But they were not things that I got all at once.
Yeah, I like your method though. You support a lot of small, mm-hmm. but you know, lesser known artists.
Yeah,
I just noticed, by the way, right now that I was talking the wrong direction, and now I hear myself well. So you home listeners, I apologize. You know, but you're really good at that. You're good at finding stuff. I remember, I think there is a Dragon Ball drawing that I have put away in a box right now. Just moved recently, but I'm like, you know what? I finally have a place where I can put it where it won't be out of place.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's kind of been, because I used to have a lot of those. I still do. Like, I had a lot of Marvel and DBZ art and stuff, but it just didn't all go together. And so that was really, it kind of, my place did look like a college dorm, and it was just like, it didn't feel, I don't know, it didn't feel, so I think there's a way that you can take, for me, this is so funny, this turned into like interior design, but like you can have a staple piece. Let's say you have like, I don't know, I can see your Civil War, your Marvel Civil War, not that you're celebrating the Civil War.
Yeah. The South will rise again.
I want to specify for people. I see your Civil War, your Marvel poster back there. But so like what I typically do is I take like, okay, if there's like this really beautiful, I had a piece that I just ended up giving to a friend, but it was a Vegeta in his rose his rose like state, and he mm-hmm. was surrounded by roses, and it was really beautiful. And so typically what I do is I take that piece and then I'll surround it with other beautiful art. So it's not like mm-hmm. You can't have your nerdiness. It was just like when I was just randomly picking up things that was like this picture of Jack Skellington and this picture of Tony Stark, and now it's the Peanuts. It just did not mm-hmm. go together. So I had to work on like what am I trying to like, how do I want to feel when I walk into this space? And I also have OCD, since we're talking about awkward things. And so it has to be, I just think that's one of my talents, I guess, is like taking different pieces and prints and nerdy things and from independent artists and just finding where it all looks like it goes together in some way.
And I like that you're willing to part with what doesn't quite connect. Not that you didn't like it, but it just didn't quite, you couldn't find a home for it.
Yeah,
and I have this old, one of my buddies in high school gave me a Dragon Ball, like this fabric sort of hanging, like it's almost like a scroll, but it's very cheap plastic, very cheap material that it's made out of, like one of those things that you would find at the swap meet, you know, in the 90s. And he gifted me this, and I've had it, I still have it right now, and I've had it since I was like maybe 15. And I hung it up for like a year or so, then maybe like until I was 21. But it's been sitting in the closet, and I refuse to let it go because I'm like, someday I'm going to find a home for this. But it doesn't fit in anything that I ever do, but it's still there.
I used to have those too. I had those scrolls. I got one from my friend. I mean, those were so popular back in the 90s, in the mm-hmm. early aughts. I remember my friend had a Future Trunks one. I think my brothers had one of all of Goku's different forms at the time. I think it went to like Super Saiyan 3. It was like a really popular picture of him, where it was him regular, then one, then two, then three. So I used to have those scrolls too. But yeah, the only other thing that I would say, sometimes if you can't find, if you get like art and it's like, I don't want to part with this, is, and this might be bad, but adding to it in some way. Like I see, one of my favorite things that I see is when people pick up old art from thrift stores. You know, it'll be like Renaissance or whatever. Like obviously these are things that you would see in your parents' like guest room or like in the living, you know what I mean? And then they would add to it. So then they would do their artwork like adding into it. And I thought that was so cool. So like
I like those too. If you add like a Godzilla in a lake.
Yes. Kind of that's that to me. I'm like, oh, that's really dope. I actually do want that. Or add like Goku and Vegeta fighting. And it's this like this field, this like prairie free field.
I like that. My fear has always been, because I don't know things, and I always think like, oh, what if I just ruin something that has some monetary value by adding something to it? I'm really bad at that. But I also don't know when something is or isn't going to, what's the word I'm looking for? Like increase in value over time. I don't know. So I try not to. Plus, I don't have faith in myself enough to be able to do something well. So I always panic and worry that I'm going to ruin something. But if someone else did it, I would 1,000,000% put the image of George Washington on a boat, you know, and then John Wick just chilling in the background loading his guns or some shit.
And like in the other boat, it's like a bunch of Pokemon or something.
Yeah, it'd be really funny. I just, this past year, in the last year, I donated a bunch of stuff to Goodwill, like old, you know, shirts, clothes, stuff like that. And one of the things I got rid of was a t-shirt I, again, had since high school that hasn't fit me in many years, of Future Trunks slicing
Frieza
in half.
Yeah,
and
iconic.
And very iconic. And I wore this shirt forever. And then it was one of those, like, eventually I'm going to lose weight and fit into this again, you know, kind of things. But the shirt was in decent enough condition to donate. But honestly, it was like, I got to just part ways with it. It's been a nice run, but I have to let go of this. And like an old race car shirt that I got that I thought was really cool when I was 16. I'm not into racing, so I don't know why I thought this is like Fast and the Furious when that first came out and people were like, oh, we got to start tricking out cars and do these cool pattern, sort of like the barbed wire arm tattoo kind of look. And I had this shirt, and I was like, it's going to come back. It's going to be popular pretty soon. No, not so much. Sorry, Vin Diesel. oh, my God. So how have you been? I haven't been. I'll be honest. I'm not good at checking with people quarantine, even through social media. Like, I'll say, if I reach out and I'm like, hey, how you doing? If I don't get an elaborate update of what's going on, I'm just, you know, I'm so blanking on everybody, how they're actually doing.
No, I mean, I think that's fine. I also get overwhelmed really easily. And like, I think it's not because, you know, the past couple of months, it's not only just friends, but it's like people, we're still in this industry. And by that, I mean, mm-hmm. it's still people like, how are you doing? Oh, okay. So would you want to like read this thing or work on this thing? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it was always like that secondary ask in there, and it's yeah. like, so you didn't actually care how I was doing. So it's always very triggering to me when people ask me, it's like, yeah. why, what do you want? Which happens a lot. I mean, it happens a ton out here, and it's kind of just like, I've tried to teach people to just do one thing. Like when people say congratulations, a lot of times out here they'll say congratulations, how did you get that? And it's so disheartening. Like it's really mm-hmm. takes away. It's like, so you didn't actually care. You're not actually saying congratulations. It's just,
you want to know how you can benefit from it.
Yeah, exactly. And so it just is so, I think like one of the reasons you and I have maintained being friends the years that I've been out here and other people is they're just very authentic. It's not like, it's like, hey, do you want to hang out? You can't do it right now or you're busy or whatever. Like that's chill. No worries. Not going to make you feel weird about it. But other people are just so, it's wild because it's the people that I'm not actually friends with, right? Because your friends wouldn't do that to you. So it's always yeah. people who ask for more, who don't even have that first like foundational layer of friendship. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, I was going to say, I'm hanging in.
Okay,
yeah. Sorry, I'm to cut you off.
No. I was going to say, I'm like, there was a, all I was going to comment with is like, there's an ick factor, which I'm guilty of, but I'm guilty of it not like in that way. It's just more like a, hey, I hear there's this project you're working on. I want to submit for it or whatever. How would I submit for it? Not like a, can you give me this job? Can you jumpstart something? And then I feel terrible when I do that. I feel gross when I do that. So I try not to do it anymore. But you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know when to or how to submit for a lot of things. So I sometimes ask, but it's never like I don't feign interest in who you are as a person in True. Order to be able to get to that. You know, I think that's, I would respect somebody a little bit more, still not like them, but I would respect them a little bit more if they didn't come at it with this, faux friend, establishment before asking for all this stuff.
But for me, like, so let's say somebody announces a project, they're like, oh, I'm so proud to be working on this, or like their show got sold to CBS or whatever. My initial thing would be to congratulate them and not say anything else. It's really tempting to be like, how do I get on this show? What if they're already staffing? They might already be staffing. And in that regard, I would look into it. Like I would look into, and then in a separate message, maybe days later, I wouldn't do it in the same message. That's my biggest thing. Maybe days later or a week later, because you know they're not going to be totally staffed up within 1 week. I would say like, I would love to, I don't know if you guys are accepting submissions, but if you are, I would love to throw my name in the ring. If there's someone I should contact about that, cause they might not be the person. Let me know, but regardless, I'm, you know, wishing you the best on this show or something like that. But I think it has to be kind of like, oh, I'd love to do my own work and research to send who I need to send this to. But it's
I love that. I like that. It's like a courtship. I mean, I'm in my head as you were saying that, I was equating it to finding out someone's single and then immediately sliding into their
exactly. DMs. Exactly. Yes. You are so correct. You are so correct. You don't want to do that, right? It's really overwhelming for them. And you have to remember how many people are probably hitting them up. when they announce like this show that they sold or something. So it can, I think the biggest thing is that people do remember the people who were genuine, and you want to come across as genuine. I understand that people don't want to miss out on their chance. I don't want to miss out on chances. I'm lucky that I have representation, that I can hit them up and be like, hey, so-and-so sold the show, find out about it. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to hit up the person directly. But if I can't find out anything, then, you know, typically a week later, if I'm super into it, it's like, I love this concept. I would love to be considered if possible. And if not, no worries, still a huge supporter of you. Like, I always want them to know whether they cast me or not, that I'm rude. And that's true. Like, it's so hard to get things made, especially us, like, especially around brown people. And it's just like, if somebody else in our community is making something, regardless if I'm allowed to be in it or not, I want it to succeed. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. I love, so far this conversation has been home interior decorating and behind the scenes between friendships and trying to get, you know, trying to get work and the do's and don'ts on it. So mm-hmm. this is a very, I thank you for joining our TED Talk. It's always so, the last episode I did, we were talking about getting high and you know, ghosts.
Oh, you know, yeah. So, oh, wow.
Every episode varies, and I appreciate that. No, it's fun. Although you and I, we've talked about supernatural stuff just a little bit, mm-hmm. and I think we were talking about doing a ghost story episode. That one kind of became an impromptu ghost story, and I will forever tell my stories. And I think that also goes back to us being brown folk. We are 100%. I mean, I don't know about you. I feel like you are into at least somewhat of the supernatural, if not experiencing yourself, at least believing it.
Oh, totally. I've experienced it. My family's very superstitious. I feel that it's ancestral at this point. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like we're very strong and connected. Like, I can feel my ancestors, and when I speak to healers, they can feel them too. Like, they're just very strong. And mm-hmm. so I try to not be too scared about supernatural things that happen around me. But I will say, it is like, I'm also a big fan of horror. And I did a thread on Twitter asking people for the scariest moments in movies that were like the scariest to them. And I was reading them all late at night, and I was like, I need to stop reading this.
Yeah.
Because it brings up like when I first saw them, and how I forgot who it was, but someone brought up the mom in The Sixth Sense, not Toni Collette, but the one who, when he's approaching her in the middle of the night and she's in the kitchen and she turns around mm-hmm. and she's scraping and she has all those cuts on her. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I was like reading those, and as I was like reading everybody's scariest moments, and I was like, okay, I need to stop because I'm freaking myself out.
Yeah. I love what I was into for a while was those two sentence horror stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are so, I'm like, I love how quickly it got to the point to where it's scary, because I feel like it was the most represented of how things kind of happen in real life. Like, because in a film, there's eerie music, there's an establishing, they're setting up, just moved into a house, the kid is not in the best of moods or whatever. Like, there's always these, all these different things that they have to say, like, okay, these are the things we need to show you just so we can set up what's going to happen in about 3 minutes of the film towards the end. The two-sentence structure just gives you, like, throws you in the middle of the story. You know, one of my favorite ones is where this mom is tucking in her kid, and then the mom says, like, mommy, there's someone under my bed. And then she looks under the bed, and then her kid's under the bed. And he's like, mommy, there's someone on my bed. I'm like, oh.
Oh, wow. That's terrifying. I got chills.
Right? Exactly. See? Wow. Because now it's like, who do you believe? You know, it's disturbing. I'm really into horror, and it kicks up right around August when I start watching the films, like
uh-huh.
gearing up for the Halloween season. Essentially, if it's too warm, I can't get scared. Like summertime, I can't equate summertime with horror, you know.
But a lot of horror movies are sweaty. Like a quiet Place is definitely like a summertime film. Midsommar is literally, I think, in the summer. And as its title. So like, it's funny because a lot of horror, a lot of horror does take place around Halloween, like obviously Halloween, but there is some of it where it, I don't know, the summer can also be terrifying. When I think of summer horror things, I guess I do think of like alien invasions.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Independence Day is literally in the middle of the summer on a day of celebrating. So I get that. And you're right. When I think summer, I just think really bright, really hot, you know, like it's like watching a movie and you're just like, oh my God, Jeepers Creepers is scary as hell. And then when you see him in decent lighting, you're like, oh, that's how I feel.
I really want to make a horror film that takes place during, like, so a lot of the horror films, it's like the thing can come out at night. Mm-hmm. And I really want to do one that's opposite of that because it is challenging. Can you still be scary? And that's why I kind of brought up like A Quiet Place. There's a scene where they're in the pharmacy. I think it's like, you know, during the day. And a lot of, if you look at The Walking Dead, that's also during the day. And that can still be terrifying to be in these like ghost towns, essentially, in the middle of the day. I also think It was another one that did that.
Yes.
During the day. And I love challenging myself, but I do, you know, obviously the nighttime because it's like these shadows lurking that you can't really see. But if you feel safer during the day, then can you capitalize on that by the fact that your character and your audience feels safer that it's in the middle of the day, but something terrifying is still going to happen?
Yeah. By the way, right now, I'm going to go ahead and claim this. If you write a horror film that takes place in the middle of the afternoon, like between 12 and like 4 p.m., I deserve producer credit for helping you create the story.
That's so funny.
I remember the first quote unquote horror film that I ever did or wrote was I had a great name. It was called Stabby McKnifey.
Love it.
Yeah, and it was the premise of it was really sort of ridiculous, but it was a kid who, or a dude in his early 20s who was convinced that he was destined to be like the next Freddy Krueger type character or being or whatever. Like he thinks that if he dies in a tragic death after being a terrible person, he will come back as a monstrous killer kind of thing. And it was kind of rooted in comedy. I wrote it as a comedy at first, then it started turning into an actual like dark horror comedy kind of thing. And at the end of it, I showed it to one of my roommates, and this is why you don't listen to people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about, because he goes, dude, none of this takes place at night. Like, it's not going to be scary to anybody. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I should probably just hang it in, and I did. And I regret ever like now, like just randomly remembering, I'm like, oh, I should have just pushed through with that one.
You still can. Yeah. But I mean, I think you can be scary at any time. Plus, if it's a comedy, I love horror comedies. I love combining two genres. So, also, my dog is snoring so loudly. I don't know if you can hear.
I can't. I'm sure I'll be able to when I go back and I edit together. But it's always so funny. Animal snores are funny as hell.
Yeah, she sounds like an old woman. She is creepy. I should record it sometime. She sounds like a feeble old woman, like haunting me.
How old is she?
She's 13, so she is an old woman.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what that is in dog years, but I'm assuming ballpark 80-ish.
Yeah, or in 90s or something, but yeah. Oh,
goodness.
We both can't do math.
No, not at all. I'm sure. I know that there's, but it's also a weird thing where it's like, they age faster when they're younger, and then they start their aging process slows down over time. So we can be forgiving with ourselves for not knowing the exact age in animal years.
She's also little. She's also not that big, so I feel she'll live. She doesn't act like she's 13 at all. Everyone thinks she's like 7 or something. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of spunk still.
Yeah, it's that's. I wish I had the energy of my 15-year-old cat. I mean, she sleeps a lot, but when she's awake, she is super awake. And she just recently lost a lot of weight. So she's like super like agile and running around and kind of crazy. And I got this. Dogs don't fuck with laser pointers like the way cats do they?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah. I got this laser pointer that charges like using like a little USB port. So it's so I don't have to go in and buy new batteries each time, and I just get this laser pointer, charge it on, you know, charge it on the same charger I use for my headset, and then then I can play with her, and she runs around like a fucking maniac. And what I'm really trying to get her to do, I really want to get her to, like, where I point the laser pointer at the other cat and have her tackle the other
no.
cat.
No.
I mean, they play fight, but it's not, you know, but I want to inspire that. Like, to me, the thought of her doing something like that, I mean, I got her once to run up one wall and another wall. Like, what's that thing called?
A cat scrap?
Parkour.
Oh, parkour.
Yeah, like have her run up two corner walls. Like I had her do that once. I'm like, action cat. Look, it's quarantine. I'm trying to find ways to entertain myself.
You're literally Joaquin Phoenix's character in Gladiator. I forgot who he was.
Julius Caesar? Was he?
Was that? No.
No.
I don't think he was.
He was a Caesar-esque
I almost
character.
Said he was Pontius Pilate. He might have been Pontius something. But no, that's you're literally just love watching two people fight for your entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, I did tape knives to their paws, so let's see what happens. I'm like, fight for my love.
Love it.
Reward. Yeah, that's I can't do that. I'm like I condone that, but then at the same time I'm very vocal against cockfights. I'm like
ew, yeah, no. All of that I hate and can't even look at things of it.
I bet on a fight once as when I was 16, and I felt so like I did it to try to go along with my family. Like
I get it.
Yeah. And then afterwards I was just like never again. I can't condone this. Sure, I made $20, but you know, a life was taken for me to get a few bars of ice cream in the next few weeks. It's not worth it.
Okay, Joaquin Phoenix is Commodus. He's Marcus Aurelius's son. For people that were yelling at their
computers or
at their phones.
Yeah, I always do that. I always start a conversation and refer to somebody or a character or a person. But then in the moment, I can't remember their name. So I'm left to like, you know, he had a hat. He was in a movie. I remember him being in a movie. It came out like in June. You know, that'll be the extent of what it is. And I'm hoping the audience knows what I'm talking about. So thank you for doing the research on your end. I have a laptop right in front of me. And it didn't even occur to me to open it up to take a look to see what we're referring to.
It's just so easy. We have the internet accessible at our fingers. So...
yeah,
I just didn't want anyone writing me about it, so I figured it out.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of the things where I say something and then I get somebody messaging me weeks later and clarifying what I was talking about. I'm like, dude, I don't even know what I said the first time around. But those are my favorite one. They send like a message like months down the line. I don't know who, but somebody went through and downloaded like pretty much my entire catalog of podcasts,
mm-hmm.
and then left me messages being like, hey, so you said this thing in episode 6. I'm like, I'm almost at 200. I don't remember what I said in episode 6. I apologize. Thank you for going back and stalking me, but I don't know what I said at that time. I'm a different person now.
Well, I'm on a lot of panels, like, and
I
a
saw
lot
that.
Of- Yeah, I'm on like the Sci-Fi is the Great Debate, which y'all can watch if you have Sci-Fi or I guess Hulu Live or whatever. But what's fascinating, I've done so many with them now. I've done them at Comic-Con. I've done it at New York Comic-Con. It's like live for 4,000 people. And then now they filmed them in their studio with Baron Vaughn, who's really funny, was hosting. And just a slate of comedians like joking, you know. And what's wild is that people write me. So it's you go head to head, and let's say they typically kind of assign you what you're supposed to be talking about. They're like, hey, Danny, she's talking about Avatar. We know you're really into DBZ. Would you be open to repping DBZ and going against Avatar, The Last Airbender? And I'm like, sure. So people don't really know how production works, I think, some of the time, that like they kind of are nicely asking that you take on certain things. And I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, obviously I do love DBZ, but we had like 5 or 6 different rounds. And so what was fascinating is I just want to be funny. Like, that's what you're hired to do. Like, yes, I could come in with facts and be like, this happened and then this and this and this. But that to me is not as entertaining as, like, why did they hire comedians and not just people who are just no stats? And so a lot of us will joke on there. And I had a really funny debate round where I picked Princess Leia and was like kind of making fun of all this stuff, like her dad and yeah, and Han Solo. And I love making fun of Han Solo. I made fun of him on another and I love him, but it's fascinating that people are like, I would have picked this. I would have done this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's why you're not fun. Yeah. Like I won because I was funny and that's what I'm hired to do. Like, yes, I know these characters and I have like Goku and Vegeta tattooed on me. But my rebuttal about Goku was how he's like a Macy's Thanksgiving Day balloon now. Mm. Like that was, I'm like, what are some of the crazy things where I'm like, you guys don't have this. You're not a Tokyo 2020 Olympic mascot. You know, it's just like dumb shit that I would, but because I'm like, am I going to sit up here and argue about power levels and like the audience who doesn't even watch some of these shows? Like, they're not going to laugh. The whole thing is we have a live studio audience. Why wouldn't you want them to laugh?
Yeah.
So it was just, so I responded to everyone who would come at me about stuff and be like, I would have done this and that. Like, this is the proper blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's a comedy show. And that's like all I would say. And again, it's like, we're getting paid to do this. Like, I get it, but I'm just like, there's a reason why if they wanted somebody else, they would have gone with somebody else.
Yeah.
And a lot of those, I just want to say, like, being a woman in the nerd world, I do look at a lot of those YouTube videos of people who just, like, break down power levels and facts, and they're really boring. Like, they're not, they don't have, like, a presence. They don't have, like, a presence with the mic. They don't have a presence, like, in the room. Like, when you're on panels and you have, like, thousands of people, you're, like, you have to, you can't just, like, and then Goku, and then he did this and that, and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's, you've probably seen those too, those YouTube videos. It's just.
I have, yes.
And podcasts. And I'm like, who can listen to this for an hour? Like, you need, like, Iffy and I, who we have our podcast, Nerdificent, he was a writer on The Great Debate and also a panelist. We would joke around so much about these properties, and people would get pissed off. And I'm like, but we are successful, like, comedy people. Like, there's, you know, if you want someone that's just rattling off stats, go somewhere else. That's not what we're here for.
Yeah.
So
everybody has their own interpretations, and then they disagree with you if yours doesn't, you know, match what they have going on. It's weird. I did want to bring this up real quick, so I was staring at this the whole time, this Dragon Ball Z Trivial Pursuit.
Love it. That's great.
Yeah, and I, as much as I watched it, here's one of the here's one of the things about me is I invest so little in facts. Like, I was the kind of guy where even now, I would read comic books, but I wouldn't learn the names of the animators. I wouldn't learn the names of the writers of the who created it, any of that information. I just cared about the story. I'm just now going back and looking at this. I annoyed the shit out of I called Golden Apple Comics. And there was like some comic books that I was reading up on online, and I was placing an order over the phone, and I was asking the guy a bunch of questions that he did not want to answer. But you know, and then I was like, look, I'm spending money. You're gonna get my money either way. Just I this is helping me figure out exactly which issues I need and what your recommendations are. And as I'm going on about this, I kind of lost my point, but. but what I'm saying is that I know that that's how boring it is to read stuff on facts. I got bored listening to myself talk about it.
I love it.
But you're absolutely right. There is like a not necessarily an eye roll factor, but something where it's, I don't know. People can be. You have to find a way to make it creative or interesting. You find a 100%. Way. You guys do it. And
yeah.
But you also have a lot of. I mean, you wouldn't be on as many panels as you are if it wasn't for that fact. And I think that the more success you have doing it, eventually you're going to have people being like, I'm doing the exact same thing. Why am I not succeeding? But they're not doing the exact same
thing. The sweet spot is when you do have something to say, like some of the stuff I said, the stuff I was saying was accurate, but you can make it funny or entertaining. So mm-hmm. I can't sit at Comic-Con panels where people are just talking about, like I said, power levels or hierarchy in Star Wars. Like, I can't do that. But yeah. if it's a bunch of people who are entertainers, who are geeking out and laughing and joking and poking fun at characters, that's a thing that mm-hmm. I do, is I poke fun at a lot of these characters, and it's really upsetting to people, which is insane. It's like, yeah. I grew up with them. I have them tattooed on me. I have spent a lot of money on this franchise. I think it's funny when we can joke about it. And who can joke about something better than somebody who is in the fandom? So
it's like, it's when people are offended for someone on someone else's behalf, you know.
Oh, a thing that I do is joke about, I love Batman slander. Uh-huh. The account itself, there's an account on Twitter called Batman Slander, which I do wish they like take screenshots of people's tweets and then post it without tagging them, which I think is weird because they have uh-huh. more followers than me. They have like 100,000 followers, and I'm like, okay, well, you could like give credit to people making these jokes. But I love joking about Batman, and it really upsets people. It's so funny. And I'm a DC fan, and I always look at it from the standpoint of Harley Quinn. Like, it just depends on who is your favorite DC character. So Harley makes fun of, like, literally on her show, she talks about how he fucks bats. Like, that's her thing, that she loves talking about how Batman fucks bats.
I haven't watched this show yet, this cartoon.
It's amazing. It's yeah. so funny. It's so, and I picked Harley Quinn on my sci-fi great debate. Like, I picked her to debate with. But it's wild because me making fun of Batman means that I don't love him or love DC. It, like, really upsets people when I'm like, yeah. I also love him, and that's why I can make fun of him. I think that the idea of a billionaire getting the city to trust him, one, and so he can like beat up homeless people and do his bidding. I mean, he does. He like, if Jeff Bezos, we always joke about this, but if he dressed up like a bat and just beat up people who are trying to, some of them just feed their families and or they have mental illness yeah. issues, like, we would not be okay with it. And so I just love joking. I love joking about it, but.
They were, I was listening to, I don't know if you listen to the Bodega Boys podcast.
Yes, yeah.
So they were just talking about that, how Jeff Bezos has the kind of money where he can beat people up or kill them, and then he has the money to just tell his lawyers, get rid of this body for me. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And you're right.
I had a tweet that I still love and stand by, and I said, Batman is the ultimate mastermind. Villain, because everyone thinks that Joker is a genius, but nobody trusts Joker. Like, nobody mm-hmm. trusts him. People trust Batman. The city trusts Batman, and a lot of the PD trust Batman. So he's able to do what he wants, whether it's right or not, and beat up who he wants and imprison who he wants. Now people will be like, those are bad people. Well, it depends on who you look at. Again, do you think Jeff Bezos is a good person, or do you think like this random, you know, person that might have been robbing a place or trying to steal or is stealing for because of the infrastructure? Well, yeah. also, why is Gotham? Why does they have so many people that need to do that? Why doesn't Batman instead take his money and invest it into Gotham in a way that isn't just locking up like their Arkham? I'm sorry, I could talk about this forever. But instead of doing that, you could get help for these people. You don't actually get help for the victims, I would say, and the quote-unquote villains. It really is just the point of view. And that's what I love about comics. Comics is all about point of view. In Batman's mind, I would say in his mind, he isn't even a hero. I think that that's what he portrays. But I think deep mm-hmm. down, if you were to ask him alone at night, he would not think that he's a hero. I could talk about this forever, but
please yeah. do. It's trust me, it's fascinating. You're not losing my interest here. Well,
let's say Poison Ivy. Poison yeah. Ivy, when you look at her, she is tired. One, she's trying to protect the planet. She's willing to kill people. She's at a point now where she's willing to kill people because of capitalism and because of the tearing down of nature. Is she a villain? Not in her mind and not in some other people's minds, but in Batman's mind, she is. Mm-hmm. To Gotham PD, she is. But she kind of reminds me of the argument with either Thanos or Killmonger, where they have, so like, it depends on the point of view.
Their motive is justified.
Exactly. And so, yeah. But a lot of people will be like, but Batman, one, also the whole thing that he doesn't kill, saying he doesn't kill and the fact that he has caused the death of multiple people are two different things. Yeah. So he might set out to not kill. It doesn't mean that he hasn't caused the death of other people, or crippled them, maimed them in some way.
I was thinking about that. I was like, the amount of hospital bills that they will accrue from, like, oh man, I need a little bit of money. I know I'm going to rob this place. I feel guilty about it. I'm going to rob it. Oh no, all my bones are broken. I don't have, my hospital bills are going to be crazy. Unless Bruce Wayne steps in and donates generously for their hospital bills, Batman's kind of an asshole.
Well, I'm not saying that he doesn't donate to Gotham, but the fact that he is still a millionaire / billionaire, I'm sure he's a billionaire, and the city is still so corrupt, is definitely a problem. If you have that much money and you can't get your city together, what exactly are you investing in? And how do you still have so much money, but your city is shit? Like, you could, I don't know. Anyways, that is my, I yield my time.
Thank you very much. Mayim Bialik, what do you have to say? that is.
He fucks bats, okay? He fucks bats. I adore him. I would hug him if I saw him. I adore Batman.
He's my favorite character.
He's amazing. And, he's very complex, and that's what people just get so wrapped up about, is that he doesn't have to be a hero. He can be, you can push and be like, oh, he kind of is a villain in some of these scenarios, and that's okay. I still love villains, you know, or people who are imperfect. So
that's the way I always saw it was like, he, not necessarily this, I don't think this is really based off anything other than he does what he needs to do, and he knows that eventually he's going to get his comeuppance, but it doesn't matter so long as he does what he feels he needs to do. And I respect him for that. I respect the character. I would say that I was always a Superman fan. I was always because he's the strongest, he's the fastest, he's the Superman. And I didn't realize that I was secretly really more campaigning or cheering on more for Batman. I mean, I was always toting on about how I'm this Superman fan. And then one day I looked in my collection of stuff and I have like 90% more Batman things. You know, my brain was like, it was similar to when someone has a crush on a hot celebrity, and that they don't realize that this whole time they've had feelings for this person or whatever. Like, it's this weird mentality. But at the same time, I don't mind people razzing that stuff. In fact, I enjoy it. Some people are so wrapped up in the characters that they take personal offense because they see themselves in that character. So when you're making fun of them, you're making fun of, you know, if you're making fun of Batman, you're making fun of the fan. Or whatever, but it's fine. I mean, I love those things. I have this. Did you ever see or read the when Ninja Turtles Batman versus Ninja Turtles,
the crossover?
Yeah, so I have this Mikey where he takes Batman's cape and cowl and he's like fucking around and having a laugh, and this is one of my favorite things because it's very like it humanizes Batman a little bit, in that, you know, such a lighthearted character can have a laugh at him and Batman not get super butthurt. Sorry, I'm gonna put that back. Sorry, buddy. All my shit falls over. I gotta set my place up. We're gonna get back to interior decorating in a moment because it's I don't know. I'm like a nerd place. And plus this is supposed to be like an office / podcast room. Mm-hmm. So I want to make it feel very nerdy and inviting and welcoming. And when this whole thing is lifted, I would love to have you over and come and look at this place.
100%. Yeah, definitely. I'm down. It already looks good from here, but.
Well, thank you. It's just one wall. The rest of it's just garbage things spilled all over the place. That would be funny, though. I have this. It's that thing that you do when you have someone come over and you're just like, I'm so sorry. I haven't cleaned. I haven't cleaned in If the place is a mess, and then you just move a cup out of the way, and it's like really nice or whatever. And then the same response people get, like, oh, yeah, this isn't bad. You should see my place. Like, there's that response, which I appreciate. I don't even apologize anymore. I'm just like, I'll get to the dishes soon. All right. Mm-hmm. Just if you get thirsty, that cup's only been used once this week. So go for it.
I mean, I do the classic, like, just throwing things in the closet for a bit if I get overwhelmed.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll clean a place. And then I'll just leave like a couple shirts out and be like, I'm so sorry. Let me just take care of this. it's a slight fix up. It makes me look like I didn't just spend, but at the same time, the place smells like really like Febreze, you know, and my cats are wearing little bow ties.
That's not trying to cover it up.
Yeah. It stinks. It's terrible. I know you have a hard out, so I believe we might've just gotten to that point.
Yeah, I wish we could talk more. I'll come on for just a full episode of Batman slander.
You know what? And I would be okay with that. That's going to be fun.
Watch I get hired to work on a Batman property and everyone gets so mad.
You're like, did you hear what she fucking said? Go listen to this podcast. And listen, at 45 minutes, she goes on this tirade about him having a sexual relationship with bats? No.
That's the thing, though, is that none of these places take it as seriously as the fans, like the actual people in executive position. I mean, not like they adore it, but it's also like from a creative standpoint, they can laugh and joke and about their own properties. And I want to say there are a lot of fans that can joke about it, like at least in the DBZ fandom. There's so many memes about all of the characters. So, yeah, but...
And it's for me, I like when people make fun of me because I'm, you know, I enjoy having a laugh at other people as well. But it's like a communal kind of thing. So you have to get, I'm sorry, if you're listening and you got offended by anything Danny said, first of all, don't take it out on me. No, just, you know. I don't know, lighten the fuck up a little bit. It's okay. You're not losing anything. She's not being dismissive of how iconic the character is. It's all right, buddy. Just finish your Yoo-hoo or whatever the fuck you're drinking and move on.
Thanks for having me on.
For sure. You take care, and we'll talk soon. And hopefully when things get better, we'll do another trip to Disneyland.
Awesome.
All right. Take care, Danny.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.